everyone. Please do grab a seat. And let me add my welcome to Chris's. It's great to have so many of you visiting us from other places. You're very welcome among us. It's also lovely to see so many familiar faces back in town. Can I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 46? That's on page 471. If you have one of the church Bibles, we've been making our way through this unit of the Psalms over the last month. We started in Psalm 42. We're now at Psalm 46. And before I read this for us, let me lead us in a short prayer and ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, please help us to listen. Help us to understand and help us to trust you. Show us that you are our secure refuge. And please do help us to run to you in Christ, for we pray in his name. Amen. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Please do keep that open in front of you, and there is an outline on the back of the notice sheet that I hope will be really helpful as we move through this psalm. Some psalms become homes for God's people. Psalm 46 is one of them. In fact, one of you told me this week that Psalm 46 is a psalm you have returned to time and time again in some of life's darkest and most uncertain moments. And that makes sense. For thousands of years, believers have run into this psalm in trouble. It's been sung in war, prayed in fear, clung to in suffering, and whispered beside deathbeds. This psalm gave the church one of her greatest hymns, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." But because Psalm 46 is or can be so familiar, we can hear it too softly. We can shrink this psalm into a private comfort verse, as if it simply says, try to feel calm when life is stressful. But Psalm 46 is far bigger than that. It doesn't pretend that trouble is small, and it raises a very searching question. Where do we turn to when trouble comes? Because we do turn somewhere when the world feels shaky, when the diagnosis comes, when the relationship breaks down, when the future feels frightening, when the church feels weak, or when the news is just grim, or our hearts are restless and afraid. We turn somewhere. We look for refuge. And Psalm 46 says, There is only one refuge strong enough for all of life's shaking. But please notice with me, this is not mainly an individual quiet time psalm, though it certainly comforts individual believers. This is a song for God's people together when the world feels like it's coming apart. Just listen to the language. The psalm says, God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. This is the church learning to sing when everything shakes. And after the tears of Psalms 42 to 44, last week Psalm 45 lifted our eyes to the beautiful King. And now Psalm 46 says, the King's God is with his people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's the refrain of the psalm. So Psalm 46 doesn't minimize trouble. It maximizes God. Doesn't say there's nothing to fear because life is calm. No, it says when everything shakes, God is our refuge. And that's what we need, because our great temptation is to believe that circumstances and things that are present are more powerful and more decisive than God. Psalm 46 says they are not. When everything shakes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The psalm has three movements. There's 3 points on the outline. First, we will not fear. God is our refuge when the world gives way. And notice with me how the psalm begins. It doesn't begin with the trouble. It begins with God. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That really matters, because I know I'm tempted to begin the other way around. We stare at the phone call, or the church worry, or the thing we can't fix, and only then try to remember God. But Psalm 46 begins with the God who is refuge and strength and help. And those words, those phrases, they're not vague religious comfort. For the first singers of this psalm, those words are loaded with history. And as the story of the Bible unfolds, the memory only deepens. God is refuge. A refuge is the safe place to run to when you're not safe. And this was the God who sheltered Noah through the flood, stood between Israel and Pharaoh at the Red Sea, and gathers his people under his wings. God is our strength. He's not only the place where his people hide, he is the power by which we stand. This is the God who brought his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And he's a very present help in trouble. Not help in theory, not help from a safe distance, or help that arrives only when the danger is over. Help found in trouble, help found abundantly. This is the God who was with Joseph in the pit and in the prison. It's a cracking song. Matty, you needn't worry. God is our present help in trouble. This isn't abstract. Verse 1 isn't pithy aphorisms. All that God is, he is for his people in their need. These words, verse 1, is the testimony of God's people. He has been our refuge. He is our refuge. He will be our refuge. And then, and only then, comes verse 2. That therefore, in therefore we will not fear, is just so crucial. That the confidence of Psalm 46 is not built on calm circumstances, it's built on God. And I wondered if you noticed the repetition that follows. I tried to make it clear as I read. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved, though the waters, though the mountains tremble, those though clauses just pile up, and the picture being painted is enormous. I mean, just pause and try to imagine what's being said. The earth itself gives way, that the ground beneath you just opens up. Ben Nevis, Kilimanjaro, Everest, ripped from their place and thrown into the heart of the sea. This is creation undoing itself. The most stable things imaginable, earth and mountains, collapsing into the most unstable thing imaginable, the roaring sea. The psalm takes us to the edge of the worst case scenario and says, even there, God is our refuge. So this is bigger than earthquakes and tsunamis. The psalm is using the strongest language imaginable for the moments when the things we thought were immovable begin to move. When the diagnosis comes. When there are complications after the surgery. The person you thought would always be there is gone. Your own mind becomes a frightening place. And the church feels weak, or the future you had planned falls apart. Or when the sin you thought was dead roars back, the ground beneath your feet gives way. I've been asking some of you over the last couple of weeks what truths about God have been closest to you when life has been hardest. And more than once, Psalm 46 has come up, because God's people know what it is for the world to give way. And yet, Psalm 46 says, therefore we will not fear. Please notice what this doesn't mean. It's not shaming trembling believers or saying real Christians never feel afraid, of course not. Fearlessness in Psalm 46 is covenant confidence. It's the church learning where to run, teaching us what to sing when fear is the only thing that makes sense. Because as I've said, we do run somewhere. Some of us run to control. If I can plan enough or know enough, perhaps I can keep myself safe. Some of us run to distraction. Keep scrolling, keep eating, keep drinking, keep buying, keep working, anything to not feel the shaking. Some of us run to ourselves, my resilience, my competence, my strength. But what happens when you are the one shaking? What happens when your strength is not enough? Every refuge except God will fail. The question is not whether you need a refuge. The question is whether your refuge can survive the inevitable shaking. And already, even here at this opening point of the psalm, we need to say that for us, this refuge has a name and a face. The God who is our refuge has come near in Jesus Christ. He's not distant from trouble. He entered it. And at the cross, the ground really did shake. Darkness fell. The Son of God went into judgment for us. And by his death and his resurrection, he opened the only refuge that can survive the final shaking. And so if you belong to Christ, you're not standing outside the refuge trying to persuade yourself to be brave. You are in him, sheltered by him, hidden with him. You're not safe because your faith feels strong. You're safe because Christ is strong and you belong to him. Nothing, not even the worst shaking, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So, Psalm 46 doesn't minimize trouble. It maximizes God. He is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. But Psalm 46 doesn't just show us a refuge to run to. It shows us a city that cannot be moved. That's our second point this morning. God is with his city when nations rage. And I wondered if you noticed or felt the change in verse 4. Because in verses 2 and 3, the waters roar and foam. But then verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That the waters of chaos give way to a river of gladness. Jerusalem wasn't famous for a great river, so the point here isn't geography, it's theology. This river pictures the life-giving presence and blessing of God among his people. And for the first singers, this verse describes Zion, Jerusalem, the place of the temple where the Most High God lived among his people. But Psalm 46 isn't teaching them then or us today confidence in walls or buildings or institutions or religious heritage. The city is safe because God is there. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And I wondered if you noticed another beautiful contrast. In verse 2, the mountains are moved. In verse 5, the city shall not be moved. Not because of her strength or her people, but because God is in her midst. And then this lovely promise, God will help her when morning dawns. The night may be long, and the danger may be real, but morning belongs to God. He's not late. His help comes at the right time. I'm utterly persuaded that these verses inspired Gandalf arriving with the Rohirrim to save Minas Tirith. And in Jesus, morning has already begun. Emmanuel has come. Easter morning has dawned, and the final morning is on its way. This is so precious, Psalm 46, after Psalms 42 to 44. In those Psalms, the downcast believer cried, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" And the suffering church asked, "Why do you hide your face, God?" And after Psalm 45 lifted our eyes to the King, Psalm 46 says, morning will come because the King's God is with his people. But do notice, the trouble hasn't disappeared. And verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. I think we know some of that. We just need to look at our news feeds. Proud nations rage. Kingdoms that looked permanent begin to wobble. Powers that seemed untouchable suddenly look fragile. But then another magnificent contrast in this psalm. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The world's powers make a great noise. They are loud. The Lord only has to lift his voice. And then we get the refrain, the heartbeat of the psalm, the chorus of this song, if you like. Verse 7, just look at it with me. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Two beautiful descriptions of God there. The Lord of hosts is the God of heaven's armies, the Lord of all visible and invisible forces, the God whose voice melts the earth. And then God of Jacob, the God of weak, messy, stumbling, undeserving people. And the God who binds himself in covenant mercy to people who have not earned his kindness, like Jacob. And that pairing is just so stunning. The Lord of hosts, infinite power, the God of Jacob, covenant grace. And now we begin to see why this psalm belongs so wonderfully to Christians. The promise at the heart of the psalm is more clearly true this side of Jesus. Matthew says as he opens his gospel, "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. In Jesus, the God of Psalm 46 has come into the midst of his people, the Lord of hosts with us in the flesh. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all the imagery in this psalm. We don't have enough time to go over it all, but he's the true temple. He's the king we saw in Psalm 45, the giver of living water by his spirit, the one who gathers his people into a city that ultimately cannot be shaken. He is the same Lord who stood with the disciples in the storm and silenced the sea with a word. Now again, I do want to be careful and provide a helpful caveat, I hope. This doesn't mean that every visible church and denomination or building will stand forever, no. Churches can decline. Churches can be disciplined. Lampstands can be taken away. But Christ will not lose his people. Christ's church is not ultimately safe because she's impressive, but because to destroy Christ's people, you would have to overthrow Christ himself. To lay a finger on them, you first have to get past him. And that really matters for us here at St. Andrew's Free Church. Sometimes it matters because the church feels weak, leaders are tired, saints are struggling, and we're painfully aware of our sins and limitations. But perhaps we need to hear it in another way too. In many ways, as a church, we're growing. There are new people, there are baptisms, encouragements, two services, signs of God's kindness all around us, and that is wonderful. But growth can bring its own danger. We can begin to feel secure because the room is fuller and things seem to be going well. Psalm 46 will not let us or me put our confidence there either. The church is not safe because she's small and needy, nor because she's growing and encouraged. The church is safe because God is in the midst of her. So we don't come as people showing off our strength. We come as thirsty people gathered around the river, as shaking people gathered by the God who cannot be shaken. That is our confidence. Not our plans, not our leaders, not our momentum. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But Psalm 46 isn't finished, because the God who shelters his city will not leave the nations raging forever. Third and finally, be still. God will be exalted as he ends wars. And Psalm 46 doesn't finish with God helping his people to survive the chaos. It finishes with God bringing the chaos to an end. Look at verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth." And that is not an invitation to admire something pretty. It's a command to stop and look carefully at what the Lord has done. And what we see is bracing. That the same Lord who is refuge to his people is terrifying to his enemies. He's the living God, holy in judgment, mighty to save. And then verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He will break the rifle, shatter the drones, burn the tanks, dismantle the nuclear stockpiles. Psalm 46 says the Lord will bring an end to to all of it. God's peace is not evil ignored, but evil judged, weapons broken, violence ended, and the Lord reigning openly. At last, the world will rest. And that's what the Lord's table will show us later. Not sentimental peace with God, but peace through judgment. At the cross, God did not ignore our rebellion. He laid our judgment on Jesus. His body was given, his blood was shed. And by his death and resurrection, sin, death, and the devil were broken. So Psalm 46 is not naive about war or evil or the violence of nations. I know that affects many of us deeply. But this psalm says, the Lord himself will end it. And then comes the very famous line that is verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. So many weary Christians have taken deep comfort from those words, and rightly so. But in its context, these words are bigger and stronger than we often imagine. This is not mainly a soothing line for an anxious heart. It's a command to raging nations. Stop. Cease. Lay down your weapons. Know that I am God. The nations rage in verse 6. The Lord speaks in verse 10. And he doesn't ask for permission. And he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's where the psalm is going. Not simply to private calm. Not even simply to the survival of this city. Psalm 46 is going to the public, global, unavoidable glory of God. The nations that rage will not rage forever. The nations are not only silenced, they're summoned to worship. And we'll see that even more clearly next week in Psalm 47. But even now, in the church, we see a glimpse of this future. As former enemies learn to call one another brother and sister in Christ. And again, we see this most clearly in Jesus. He's the king of Psalm 45. He is Emmanuel in Psalm 46. He's the crucified and risen Lord who makes peace by the blood of his cross. And the Jesus who shed his blood for peace is also the Lord whose voice will silence the nations. The nations still rage. The church still looks weak. Wars are still a daily feature. But the end is not in doubt. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if you are here this morning and you are not yet a Christian, Psalm 46 is wonderfully merciful and terribly serious. Be still. Not just outwardly quiet, but inwardly surrendered. Please stop keeping God at arm's length. Stop treating him as though he can be safely ignored. Please stop living as though your life belongs to you and nobody else has the right to rule it. This is not Jesus asking politely for a little space in your life. This is the King offering mercy before the day when every knee must bow. Because God will be exalted. The question is not whether you will one day acknowledge him. The question is whether you will bow now in repentance and faith or later when it's too late. And if you do belong to Jesus, to your brother, to your sister, this command steadies us too. Be still. Not because the world is calm, but because God will be exalted in all the earth. Please stop living as though everything depends on you holding the world together. Stop panicking as though the nations are sovereign. Stop despairing as though the raging gets the final word. It doesn't. And don't withdraw from the nations either. Psalm 46 is going to flow straight into Psalm 47. And it won't let us do that. The nations who rage are the nations we're sent with the gospel of the King to. We witness with courage, pray for the nations, welcome people from the nations, hold out Christ to the nations. Because the Lord says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Now, our psalm ends with the refrain, one more time, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's almost as if the psalm ends by giving us the line we most need to keep singing. So where do we land? Psalm 46 is not asking us to pretend the world is steady. It's teaching the church to sing when everything shakes. And perhaps you need that this morning. Some of you have told me over the last couple of weeks that this psalm has carried you through very dark days. And some of you may be sitting here now with the ground giving way beneath your feet. Psalm 46 doesn't say it isn't that bad. It says God is our refuge and strength. And so brothers and sisters, we sing this together for the shaking saint, for the fearful family, for the anxious student, for the weary parent, for the older believer facing weakness or in their hospital bed, for the church that feels small and for the church tempted to feel strong. We sing, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And as we come to the table, we come to the Christ who is God with us. I've always enjoyed reading John Wesley's last words before he died. He said to have opened his eyes and said, the best of all is this, God is with us. Psalm 46 teaches us to say the same. When everything shakes, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when everything shakes, thank you that you do not shake. Please help us as your people in Christ to take refuge together in you. Not in our plans or in our strength or in our control, but in you. And for those of us whose ground is giving way, please be very near. Please steady trembling hearts, comfort the grieving, strengthen the weary, give courage to those of us who are fearful, and teach us not to fear when everything shakes, but to sing these words. And before the Lord Jesus, who made peace through judgment and who will be exalted in all the earth, please make us still. Quiet our resistance. Deepen our trust and help us to hold out the gospel of the King with courage and tenderness and hope. For we pray in Jesus' name.